If I reminded you that you are perfect, would you argue me down or step into your perfection? Welcome to perfect mode, where there are no excuses, no expectations, and we explore the world without limitations. I'm Jay Clay, rapper, the spiritual teacher, with my co-host Troy Washington, your friendly neighborhood realtor. Let's be real. So let's be perfect. Let's be
perfect. Perfect.
Everything, anything, 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 perfect.
Welcome to Perfect Mode. Welcome to Perfect Mode. First off, I want to start by telling y'all that we love y'all. We're grateful for the opportunity to be anywhere sharing our thoughts, hopefully in helping you realize that you are perfect. And the reason why we can unapologetically say that is because I know that you are one of one, numero uno. You cannot be replicated, duplicated. And the only reason you will be saying that you're not perfect is if you're looking at this person on the side of you and saying, I'm not them, but you are you, and that's all you need. And of course, it's yours truly, Troy Washington, your friendly neighborhood realtor. And I have my boy Jay Clay, spiritual rapper and teacher. And we're about to get on here and talk about all the easy ways to heal for the willing. You hear me? Heal. For the willing. What up, Jay?
What up, man? Happy day to all my perfect people in perfect land, doing all the perfect things, man. This is the perfect Sunday to talk about this topic. And yeah, get stressed for the willing, because you know everybody is not willing to heal. They say they want to be healed. They're like, do you really want to heal? And I've even had times where I had to question myself, like, do I really want what I say I want? Yeah, man, I'm ready to talk about it. But real quick, I want to shout out our Patreon. So you know, if you feeling what we do, if you liking what we do, you want to support, you want to say, yeah, man, I want to help you grow, do all this, you can check out our Patreon. It's easy to become a member. The link is in the description. Shout out to our current members. Shout out to Jeff. And yeah, let's get into it.
What up, Jeff, man? Appreciate you, bro. You make it all work for us, baby. So, and also shouts out to him, Lyle BK. Hello, hey. Sir. Good to meet you after long.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, we glad you back, fam. We glad you back. So, all the easy ways to heal for the willing. Yeah. All the easy ways to heal. So, funny, and I have a little bit of story time that I want to tell a little bit later, but I want to get what your thoughts were when this first popped up in your mind, or when you first saw this.
Yeah, I know we usually do like a healing episode each season, and it was just time. Like I've noticed people maybe believing that they have dis-ease of some types of way or sickness in some way, and just kind of, and for those that don't, just kind of getting in front of it so that you won't. Because it's all about that ease. It's all about that just enjoying life to the fullest and not believing in something that you're not.
So I'll jump right in then too as well. And I'll first start by speaking the truth. Yeah. And the truth is that you are healed. And, you know, ultimately, I know that's a pathway that we all have to travel in order to try to realize that and know that we are there all the time. But along that pathway, you know, there are hurdles that we tend to put in front of ourselves to hop in order to make that be true. But the truth of the matter is you are healed, period. Now, coming back to where I am, you know, the beautiful thing is just over a week ago, we just finished our first 4-day fast. And it was an amazing adventure, you know, for having a lack of words to explain it, but it definitely was an amazing experience, an amazing adventure, and I'm glad that we did it. But prior to my fast starting, Jay, me and my family went on a family vacation. We went to Kalahari Resorts. It's a water park. Yeah. And while we were there, coming up into the last day, I felt my throat getting sore. I felt my throat doing that crazy stuff, and I was like, man, I don't want to have to deal with this. I'm about to fast. This is going to be crazy. And lo and behold, Thursday morning when we was gonna get ready and start the fast that day, my throat was closed. That's how I felt. It was closed. And I told myself at that moment, this is going to be the ultimate test. And I wanted to talk about it last week, but I didn't want to bring it. I decided I'm going to wait until this week before we even broach the conversation, which is another reason why I love the fact that you chose this topic. So Thursday, throat closed. Every time I swallowed, hurt, right? Now, on a fast, we're not doing anything but drinking water, but you would assume that you don't want to take any medicine as well, right?
Yeah.
So I said, okay, cool. I'm going to see if I can make it past these 3 days and get to the regeneration part of this fast and see how I do. Now, funny enough, through all the sore throat and the coughing and all the stuff that was coming out of me that entire time, this ended up being the easiest fast that I've ever done. Crazy, right? But even up going into the fourth day, I had a sore throat. And it sounds like magic, bro. I know it might sound crazy, but the moment when I broke my fast, when I drank my soup, my throat stopped hurting. My throat literally stopped hurting. Yeah. And I guess the reason why I'm telling you this way is because I kept saying by the end of my fast, I'm going to be healed. Now, yeah, I'm showing you that I gave myself all the direction in the world. I told myself and this is the reason why I know that you are healed and you get to dictate how that actually happens. But I literally told myself, by the end of this fast, I'm going to be healed. And literally, when I drank my soup, I was amazed myself. I was like, man, this is a crazy thing. But go ahead, Jay.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's true. And coincidentally, like one of the first ways, because we have a list of 12 ways that all the easy ways you can heal. One of them is water fasting. Now, you kind of touched on another because also mindset, but similar to that, like the reason the water fast works is because you're more tuned into your body than you would normally be. Like usually, like if you have a hunger pain, it prompts you to, you know, you're thinking about your body in some way. You're thinking about that, and it's like, okay, what is this? But then if you're actively saying, I'm not going to feed you now, you're still kind of in tune with that energy. And you might give it you might realize something about yourself that you may have been neglecting, like other than food or just something about the way that your life is set up. And it allows you to kind of get in touch with those same healing energies that you normally wouldn't have.
And two, again, I don't want to make research be the crutch of it all or the reason for it all. But, you know, sometimes research kind of helps you ease your mind. And, you know, one of the things that I was reading prior to the fast was, again, I had already started to get the symptoms up until that point. Something that I read was cells, the cells that are in your body, they tend to replicate when they're full. And so if they're not full of all the sugar and all the other things, anytime a virus tries to come in, it kicks them out because it cannot replicate itself. So, again, I knew that I was. Oh, go ahead, Jay.
Well, I do want to say, because I don't want to put that in the mindset. I know a lot of people have, I don't know the right word, an affinity to sugar. They believe that sugar is evil. Nothing is evil. Nothing is bad. It's just the mindset that you kind of dictate with your body. Go ahead.
But no. But again, you know, to the point that I'm making, if this is all what I fed myself, right? Mm-hmm. That's the reason why I said I did the research and I allowed my body to heal in accordance to what I believed at the time, right? Again, ultimately, we are all healed. That's the truth. That's the one truth of the matter. But getting to that point is easier said than done for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, and I want to say too real quick, for those that kind of want to start off water fast, like they don't want to make the commitment like we did the 3 days, the 4 days, we have a link in the description where you can do the 24-hour fast. Like we do that every Monday where you can do 24 hours from when you last ate today, Sunday, or you can do it when you wake up to when you go to sleep. And I want to read what Himlau said. I recently took the EPS exam for entry into Korea, but unfortunately I didn't pass. Korea has always been my dream destination. So failing the exam is disheartening. Can you please advise me on how can I move ahead in life? I am so disappointed. Actually, too, because yeah, We're going to answer that question, but I want to say something about like healing. Healing is not just physical. And even what you said, like you said, you feel disappointed. Healing is within that as well, which kind of brings us to our second method of healing, acceptance. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, and just kind of to piggyback on you and the mental aspect of it, of healing and acceptance, yeah. Also realizing what it truly meant. Like, you didn't pass the exam, but is that necessarily a bad thing? Was it meant for you to go to Korea at that time? Was there something that you still had to do here? And I think that's where acceptance comes into play. Like, it's been, you know, I guess I can't speak for you, but I'll speak for myself. There have been a many tests that I failed in my life. But what I found was when I was able to accept that it was okay and I had forgiven myself, because there's a lot of reasons that you might think that you failed. Maybe I didn't study enough, or maybe, you know, maybe I was distracted, or whatever the case may be. Whenever I was able to forgive myself for whatever I've deemed to be a shortcoming, I was able to recognize the reason why I was in the place that I was at. And I think that that acceptance, you accepting that it's okay, number one, and then looking at where you are currently is a big part of being able to move ahead, because you're only not moving because you're continuously looking back at what happened. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah. And with that, like, and I love that. And I love too that you've accepted that disappointment in a sense. Like, you're being real with how you feel. And some people might be embarrassed to feel disappointment, but it's part of it. Like, you're accepting, this is exactly where I am. I'm disappointed in this. Or in the case of someone needing to heal something physical, I feel I have this ailment or this dis-ease. And cool, I don't know what it means, because I don't know the future. I don't know the my life plan. I might not be in tune with that right now, but I accept where I am. So now when you accept it, you can actually do something about it. You can actually make a difference instead of just being in denial of the situation and not allowing it to serve you, because everything that happens to you serves you in some way.
I want to read what Rhonda John said, and shouts out to Rhonda. That's my cousin. I love you, cuz. She says, him loud. Hello, sir. Now you know what to expect on the exam. Review again and try again. Blessings forward. And I love that. Again, accepting experience, you know what I mean, is a big deal. Number one, I'm going to go back to what I said. Yeah. There's a reason that you didn't pass. There's a reason why you were sent to revisit anything if you decide to revisit it again. But to Rhonda's point, now you do know what to expect. And if you decide based off of you first reevaluating where you are, because you want to look and see why you did not move forward. You want to see if the place that I'm at, do I still serve a purpose here? And then once you decide that you want to move forward, now you do know what to expect on the test. You do know how to prepare a different way. And look, fam, the happiest times of my life when I was able to look back at it were the times where you might have deemed it a failure. The times when I was the brokest, when I didn't have no money and I had to let go, is when I was the most free. So again, I definitely encourage you to sit back and say, okay, I failed the test. Let me gauge my life as it is. Let me look at my purpose as it is and see, had I gone on and passed this test and I got inundated with all these other things that's going to come along with it that I may have said was next, would that take me away from what my purpose is in this moment? And then once you do that, I promise you, the acceptance and the joy that comes along with all of that is going to be there. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that you brought it back to purpose, because like sometimes we go through the motions of things, but we forget our purpose. We forget, you know, why we do things in the first place. And what does this isolated incident mean in the grand scheme of our purpose? And in a lot of ways, it's just that one little isolated incident. And it's an opportunity to show us what we're truly made of. Like, if everything went right all the time, how we deemed it as right, There would be no growth. There would be no interest, really, because you're like, yeah, of course I'm going to succeed and do everything and it's going to be easy. Like you wouldn't have any life in you, in a sense. And when things don't go your way, so to speak, like you have that opportunity. And I would say, see it as that and enjoy it. Like actually find a way to accept and enjoy this moment.
And I want to give him a real life one-to-one in my own eyes anyway. Prior to this year, so first of all, just kind of explain my current career. I'm a real estate broker. And I was a realtor first. I passed the test to become a broker. And then in my mind, I was thinking, okay, how can I expand my business some more? So one of the next steps that I thought to myself, and this also is because I looked around the landscape and I saw other realtors doing the exact same thing. So number one, I started to add based off of things that were not necessarily realistic to me in the moment. Not saying that what you're doing is the same, but just showing you the testing, prepping, and then not getting the ultimate goal. So the next step for me was, let me go ahead and get my loan officer license so that way I can help people in both ways. So I took the classes, I studied the book, the actual class test, and then I was prepping to go take the state exam. And in prepping to go take the state exam, I could never feel confident enough where I was ready to go and do it. Now, I never took the state exam. And so I started to look back at myself and start to feel like a failure. I started to feel like, and I mean, I set the bar, I told everybody, and it was like, dang, I did not get that done. Dang, I did not. And so what I ended up doing, and this is why I want you to go back and refocus and find out your purpose where you are, because I started to feel like a failure. I started to move from in a standpoint of I need to prove something to everybody as well as myself when nothing needed to be proven. And so what happened was I started to study this book and I started to become frustrated every single day. I was studying. I was like, I'm going to take this test. I got to get it done. I got these dates. And I was frustrated every single day. And I realized that my life started to become harder and harder because of one little thing that really didn't even matter in the grand scheme of things. And so I sat down and I asked myself, right now, where am I? Am I serving my purpose? And do I really want this? Do I really want this? And the determination that I had was, I don't want this right now. I don't want it now. And the moment when I decided that, and it's not to say that I'm not going to do it. It's just in that moment, there was too many different layers to my life that were going to change when I didn't need them to change because I was serving a different purpose at the moment. I was able to relinquish all of that pressure, that stress, and also bring joy back into my life. And again, later down the line, there's something that I still aspire to do. It's still something that I feel like I can provide to the people that I work with to make my business better. But that doesn't mean that I had to do it now. And now I feel way more joyful, even in anticipation of doing it later. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah. I want to go to the next one because, like I said, we got 12 and I know we got that's like a lot of things to cover in an hour. But it's all related. So like the third way, easy way to just heal is understanding your mind. And we kind of touched on that. You touched on that earlier. And even in what you just said, like your mind controls your body. Basically, your mind controls your body. And the thing is, you control your mind. Like, no, you're not your mind, but you actually control your mind. And so because of that, you control your body. And a lot of times, your body is reacting to your mind in some ways and some things that you might not have been conscious about, some things you let slip by the wayside because you were focused on something that wasn't aligned with your purpose. And when you understand the role that you actually play in creating your reality and in creating your body, in a sense, it changes things and it makes it a little bit easier to heal.
So to your point, and this is the beautiful thing about the technology that we have. This is the beautiful thing about all the people that you have around you. Like, everything can help you align your mind in the way that you want to. One thing that you always like to say is, if I go online and search out food is good, there's a million things that say food is good is going to come up. And if I search out food is bad, a million things that say food are bad are going to populate. Now, this is what I do know. most people, if you decide that you want to do something and you tell the closest people around you, and I'm saying the closest people around you, because those are the people that I feel personally are going to ride or die with you, rock with you no matter what you do, right? I can go to my wife and say, guess what? I'm going to be a peanut farmer. And she may not believe that I'm going to be a good peanut farmer, but in that moment, she's going to be like, okay, well, let's just do whatever we need to do a peanut farmer. And so the reason why I point this out is because your mind, first of all, speak what you want. Speak what it is that you believe. And when you do that, everything around you is going to align to that automatically. It's, you can't search it. It's not going to be there. You can't tell somebody it's not going to be there. You can't put yourself in place. Like, you tend to go to places where people are doing it. Everybody is going to fall in line with what you're trying to do. And that doesn't do anything but reinforce what you're thinking to help your belief become stronger. But you have to understand that, and you have to believe and trust that that you say will be true. And again, everything falls in line. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah. And to that, I got to bring back the saying, watch your thoughts for they become your words. Watch your words for they become your actions. Watch your actions for they become your habits. Watch your habits for they become your character. Watch your character for it becomes your destiny. And your thoughts are leading to all of this. Like you said, seek and you shall find, but you get to set what you seek for. And that what you seek for, you're going to find it. So if you're in a sense seeking for health, seeking to align with health, or seeking examples of your healthiness, you're going to find that. But when you're seeking examples of your non-happiness or your non-wellness in certain cases, you will also find those. So it's very important to be mindful of that. Of that, just period.
So, and I'll say this now. I always like to use the fast as an example, bro. Like, in my mind, I believed that my stomach growling didn't mean I was hungry. That's what I believed, right? And so, of course, I searched it out, and I found out the definition. Again, it could be probably a million definitions out there. I don't know.
Yeah.
But what I found was that when your stomach is growling, it just means that your food is moving along the passageway in your intestines, right? So it doesn't mean that you're hungry, which is the reason why some people would eat and their stomach would still growl right after they finish eating. Now, the point of me saying that is I was trying to power up my mind to realize that I'm not hungry during the fast. And so because I had the confirmation that I was looking for, because I seeked it out, whenever my stomach growled and my fast, it just made it easy because I just told myself, I'm not even hungry right now. And so again, everything is always aligning itself, but you have to trust and understand your mind. You have to realize that you can feed it what you want to feed it. And once you feed it that, digesting it is going to help you along the way. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have tons of examples of that as well. I mean, I'm sure we all do. Like, that which we seek, we shall find. I want to read what Himla said, that helps me a lot. Thank you, sir. And thank you, Rhonda John. So yeah, appreciate that as well. And yeah, man, like, your mind, it literally creates your reality. Like, I know we say it and we think it figuratively. No, it literally creates your reality. That which you believe, you react to. And because you react to it, you react to it as if it's real, but you're really reacting to that within your own mind. And you can change relationships, like real relationships that you have with another, by understanding your mind, by understanding your role in that you could be seeking disharmony or you can be seeking harmony with certain people.
Real top.
Yeah. So, oh, go ahead.
No, you got it.
All right. So I go to the next one, which again is similar. And it's funny. I kind of want to spend longer on these. I'm like, man, maybe we should break this up into two parts, but we'll go with it. So number four, no conflicts. And so you may be wondering, okay, what does this have to do with healing? What does no conflicts have to do with healing? It's similar to your mind creating your reality. A conflict within leads to conflict without. So if you're divided within your own mind, like, should I do this or should I do that? Or I want to live like this, but I keep living like this. I keep choosing this. Like, you're split. You're not okay with your decisions. You're half here, half there. And so your body doesn't know what to do either. Like, you're half healthy, you're half not healthy. And if you're not all the way healthy, you're not healthy in a sense. And you're it's like your body now has a mind of its own because you're not taking control of your own mind. And so it's free to just do whatever it does. And now you have to listen to it, except it, instead of have it listen to you. But go ahead.
Now, so I have another example of this, bro. And it's literally about healing. So not going to call my cousin now, but I have a cousin that ended up having breast cancer, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, she went through all the protocols that she had to go through for the doctor's portion of it in order to put the cancer into, I guess the word is remission, I guess.
Yeah.
Or I think that's what it is, right?
Yeah, remission, yeah.
Remission, right? So after the fact, me and her were just talking. We were just having a conversation. And her words were, I went through the doctor, this happened, and then through all the prayers, you know, God healed me, right? So these were her exact words. And she said, God healed me. And I was like, man, that's what's up, cuz. I'm happy for you. I'm glad that you healed. And then she backdoored and told me after that, the doctor said, I have to wait 2 years because it's a chance that the dormant cells could end up coming back and blah, 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 right, right. And so I immediately stopped her when she said it. And again, I don't ever want to be in conflict with anybody that has conflict with themselves because you can't really win that battle, right? But I asked, I said, okay, you said through all the prayers that God healed you. But then you said that it's a chance in 2 years that it could come back. And so right there, I let her know you're in conflict with yourself. You haven't even decided what you want to believe. You telling me that God healed you. And then you're also saying that the doctor said it could come back. And so I challenged her at the time, again, not to argue with her, because I'm not going to argue with anybody about any internal conflict, but to say, hey, if you believe that God healed you, why don't you just believe that he healed you and that's just it? And she was like, dang, you know, I never thought about it that way. But when I think about no conflict, there's always opposition to the things that you believe because there's so much information available to us. And it's just as simple as the what we said earlier when I said you can look up food is good or you can look up food is bad. But the reality of it is you shouldn't seek out the conflict. If you're trying to be healed, you decide. I never seen anybody that decided that they were thirsty decide in the middle of going to get some water. Am I not thirsty? No, you decide I'm thirsty and you go get you some water. You don't give yourself that conflict or that opposing thought so that way you can accomplish whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish. And if healing is your goal, once you've decided whatever the pathway of, again, the truth again is you are healed.
Yeah.
But once you've decided whatever your pathway is, you cannot relent on that. I said at the beginning of the show, Jay, right when we started our fast, I decided by the end of my fast that I was not going to be sick anymore. I decided that. Now, I could have decided sooner. I could have decided that I wasn't going to be. But nonetheless, I didn't take medicine. I stuck to the fast. I stuck to the water. And by the end, I was good and I feel great today. But again, that was just having my mind made up and not giving myself any conflicting thoughts. Though in the middle of it, I said, should I take some medicine? I said, no, medicine don't work for me. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah. And I'm glad you brought up too. You didn't want to argue with your friend because that's an example of conflicts as well. Like not only just within your mind, just with in different relationships too. And the thing about when you argue with people, let's say you truly believe something, you are now giving falsities the respect you would give truth. So like, let's say I said, you know, the average color of people is green. That's obviously false. But let's say you argue it. What are you saying to you? You are saying that you doubt your own eyes, you doubt your own senses, you doubt your own sensibilities. And saying that, you know, people are green because you are arguing something so absurd, but you're willing to have conflict with it. And for what? When you can just accept that that's what they believe and move on, you can say, oh, okay, that's interesting. And that's it. And then you have no conflict. You're not sowing that seed of division within yourself or without yourself. So no conflict. And
no conflict, baby.
This kind of goes into the next one. Practice the not ego. So it's a lot of ways to go with this. And I'll bring back the current example of when you argue with somebody, like you are saying my way is better than your way. And the only way for my way to be true is if it beats your idea. Like it can't be true on its own, but only if it beats your idea, then it can be true. And you're in a sense practicing the ego. Start to let stuff go and practice the not ego. Go ahead.
Again, I have I swear, bro, I think just living a lot and having, you know, being able to be connected to so many people, you see these things all the time. And you know, the thing that comes to mind is a guy that I know who's probably in his 80s or something, and he smokes cigarettes.
Yeah.
Right. And of course, you know, all the time, you know what people are telling you. Now again, I don't smoke, you know, it's just not my thing. But all the time, you know, people tell him, you know, you shouldn't do this because you're going to, you know, your lungs going to be messed up. You're going to die early. And his debate is, I'm still here. And I know people who believe these things that have exited way before me because of their beliefs. Core belief is it does not affect him like it affects everybody else. And, you know, that's neither here nor there. I mean, but that's everything.
Yeah.
I think that there's no ego involved in it. I think it's, and I think when you say the not ego, I think that's when you start to tap into what you core, like your core and true belief is.
Yeah.
And it's not about proving anything to anybody. It's just about the action of it all. Like you said, the practice. Yeah. And, you know, that's when you start to argue, you're taking away the practice. Go ahead, Jay.
And also with that is, so the ego is one of those things that has to be right. Like, I got to be right. Nah, it's like this. It's like, you got to believe me. It's like this. And you make everything right. And because of that, that could be to your own detriment. Like, let's say you believe that dis-ease is real and it can have a hold over you versus you have it. And when you believe that so strongly, you're not willing to let that go. It does something to you. You really believe in it more than you believe in yourself. So by practicing the not ego, you're allowing yourself to say, I don't know everything. I don't know how my body fully works. I don't know how my mind fully works in relation to it. And you can allow miracles to happen because you're not so fixated on it has to be this particular way. This is the only way I can heal. This is the only way this can happen. You just let it go and trust.
And so this is going to be in line, but offline, right? And the ego wants you to think that everybody is the same. Is this crazy? I mean, it's a crazy thought, right? But with our own two eyes, we can look and see that every single person around us is different, right? Not only that, from our own two ears, we can hear that everybody experiences things completely different. Like, you know, I use women as an example. I've heard a million different women tell cramp stories. I've heard a million different men tell prostate stories. Like, I've heard, like, And there are similarities, but they're all completely different, right? And so the ego tells you to say that me to argue a point that this is how it is, you have to understand how impossible that is. Because you have all the evidence to show that we're completely different. Like, our physical being is completely different. We cannot, not only that, you also have a mind that you're in control of that gives you a lifetime of experiences that you can remember that you know no one else has experienced the same way as you. Like an entire lifetime that you can remember. I'm not talking about how you process it. You know that nobody grew up in your house, lived in your room, in your bed, with your cover, with your, like, you know this.
Yeah.
But yet and still, you would tell somebody that cotton is soft. It's something that the ego, you allow it to dictate your thoughts and not realize that it's not real. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, and practicing that, it makes it more spiritual. Like the ego is kind of tied to the physical, and when you kind of go back to the spiritual, you realize that the body is a manifestation of the spiritual anyway. So it's not that it can ever be sick. It's just that you've aligned with a version of yourself that you shouldn't have, in a sense, which kind of leads us to number six, if you have a pain, it doesn't have to mean it's a bad thing or it's the worst thing in the world or that something is wrong. Similar to what we said earlier, seeking you shall find. And if you believe that a pain means something negative, it's going to mean something negative to you. If instead you say, oh, this is interesting, this is weird, this is not what I normally experience, and just go into it, you might find out why you're experiencing this now and how it can serve you in some way. Because if you have the belief that everything serves you, even that perceived pain in that particular moment serves you as well.
So to me, this is where technology is a hindrance, I feel like, anyway. Because again, we understand that you can seek out the positive of anything. But a lot of times when you have an ailment or a pain, you're going to look it up and you're going to say, this is what's wrong with me. And then when you look up, this is what's wrong with me, you're going to see all the things wrong about the thing that you're experiencing. And then you're going to assume all that. Again, I just talked about how you know that we're different. You can see that we're different. You can hear that we're different. And I'm even going to say spiritually, you can also understand in your mind how we process spirituality, period, differently. Like, we're all at different places at different times. And you will look up something and you'll say, okay, my knee hurting means this because 1,000 other people said something similar. And even when you look at the descriptions that you read, they're all going to be similar, but they're still going to be different. Instead of telling yourself that, okay, my knee, I'm going to use myself as an example, bro. My knee was hurting and it hurt for a long time. And I looked up all the reasons why my knee could hurt. And my knee hurt for all of those reasons because I believed it at the time. And then one day I said, man, there's a way that my knee can stop hurting. I need to figure out what that is. And so when I changed my thought, then new information started to populate. The muscles around your knee are not strong enough. Now, this is not what I was seeing at first. Okay, so how can I strengthen the muscles around my knee? I went to this kinesiology person. She's like, oh, if you just do this little exercise right here, this right here, this right here, your knee is going to get stronger and your knee will stop hurting. So now, because I've changed and shifted what I thought or how I felt, I was able to find a pathway versus the people that I was looking at. Yeah. And since that point, I haven't had an issue again. Now, again, there were a bunch of different pathways that I could have taken. But the one that I chose to believe was a positive one that didn't require surgery, that didn't require all these different things. And lo and behold, look where I am today. But go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, and similar, I remember one time something happened with my ankle. And so I perceived pain when I walked on it. So the obvious thing is don't walk on it. But a lot of times we check for our pain. Like we're like, oh, this hurt. Oh, yep, it still hurts. You know, we look for it to hurt. And so it does. And so it was like, okay, my ankle is experiencing something when I walk on it. I'm not going to walk on it. So what can I do? What's the purpose of this? And normally what I found was you've been going hard for a long time. You have not rested. You have not stopped for a while. Allow yourself to stop for a while. And so I did. And I felt good. I was cool. I probably hopped around on some places in my house, but I was good. And then after that lasted long enough, I remember saying, all right, it's time. I'm done with this. I started to walk on it. And it wasn't as bad as it once was. It was still, I still perceived a bit there. But I proceeded anyway. And then I said, you know what? That's it. And since then, the ankle has never bothered me. Now, you can say it went through the natural progression of healing or whatever. I don't know. I don't care. I just know that I was in tune with what I needed to be in tune with. And that's all that mattered for me.
And I want to tell him loud good night in Nepal. I know it's nighttime for you. So good night. And then shouts out to Loretta, who said the power of belief. And I guess one other thing that I'll say about it, Jay, too, is that look, when you said we'll seek out pain, and you were 100% right with that, bro. Like, We feel like we're supposed to be there. And I remember when I had a little backache and it was hurting for a while until I decided that it wasn't going to hurt no more. And then one day, literally, well, so first of all, I would wake up in the mornings, bro, and I would move my body and try to find where the pain was. It's crazy as that sound. Like, I would be like, okay, I know it's in there somewhere. There it go, right? And then eventually, when I decided for real that, okay, I know I'm tripping, my back really did stop hurting. So that's one. Yeah. But we feel like there's power in it. Again, it can, depending on how you look at it, what purpose is it serving for you? But it doesn't have to be a negative one. But yeah, man, go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, and like you said, you can let go of that purpose. Like, oh, this was the purpose. All right, I let go of that. And so the next one, number seven, the easy way to heal, tell no one.
Yeah.
Tell no one. And I know this is probably one of the toughest ones for people. It was for me. And the people I tell it to, they're like, nah, what you mean? I can't do that. But when you realize what it actually does when you tell people, you might not want to. So like let's say, for example, I'm walking and I'm all hunched over. And somebody's like, hey, man, what's wrong with you? Oh, nothing. I'm having a good day. Like, just like, why are you hunched over, man? I don't know why I'm hunched over. I'm just hunched over. And then just leave it at that. The thing is, when you tell somebody something is wrong with you in a negative way, you allow that co-creation between you two to be directed at you. So not only are you using your creative power to visualize yourself as sick or diseased in some way, you're allowing someone else to do the same thing. And the combined power of you two are making it so. And when you make it so, it makes it easier for you to step into that sick energy or that unhealed energy instead of saying, rise, you're well. You're not, you know, you're not lame. You can walk. Just get up. And it is that simple. But go ahead.
I'm going to tell you where I go with this when I hear this. And so number one, you said it's specific. When you're telling, so tell no one, number one, but when you tell someone in a negative way is where there's the reversible power that you hold on people. But this is what the way that I look at it, right? I think that you get to be a witness to yourself, right? And when you're a witness to yourself and you trust, meaning not telling anybody, once you do tell someone, you can tell them with the right kind of energy. And just to kind of give you an example of what I mean, I went through the walking around with a hunch, right? And well, I actually didn't walk with a hunch, but I walked around in what some might have considered to be extreme pain. It was tough for me. And I went to birthday parties with my kids. I went to soccer games. I went and helped out with everything. And no one ever knew what was going on with me. But what was happening was I was trusting that I was going to be okay. And I was a witness to myself on how to overcome it. So fast forward, I was at soccer practice and one of the other dads had experienced what I was going through. They spoke it out, and they spoke it out in the way that you just said, in a negative fashion. And what I was able to do, because if I had brought it in before, this would have been something else that latched on to it, and we could have created an entirely big pool of negativity that probably could have reverberated to everybody. But what happened was, when he expressed to me where he was and he was telling everybody else, I was like, man, let me tell you about that. I said, I felt the exact same way at a time, but this is what I did. And this is how I was able to overcome it. And I did it on my own. And I know that you're going to be okay because of this. And he was like, it shut down all the negativity, right? And I think that, again, it doesn't mean that my pathway was going to be his pathway. But what ended up happening was he was able to see the light at the end of the tunnel and say, okay, well, let me approach this a different way. And you know, your mood is everything. If I walk out sad, then everything around me is going to kind of follow suit. I'm going to look at everything from a different standpoint. And I think that me being able to witness to myself and give him, when I told him in a positive light, it changed the direction of how he was moving. And I think I would like to believe lifted him to be able to move past it faster.
I love that. So much so that let's alter it. Tell no one in a negative way, in a way that's debilitating, in a way that's that will create that energy for you both to step into. When you do that, that's true, because you do allow people to aid in your healing in such a way. But again, it's dictated by what you give to it. So which goes to the next one. Go through the motions. So this is along the lines, not quite fake it till you make it, because fake it means you're acknowledging that you're faking it and it's not true. But you're going through the motions allows you to prepare for your wellness, prepare for healthiness. An example that I can give quickly is these workouts I've been doing, and sometimes I can't finish it. It's like, man, this is just stupid. But I just go through the motions. I might pick like the lightest weight ever, or just even close my eyes and visualize myself doing it. And what happens is, over time, I believe that I can do it, and it gets easier to do. But that's in many instances, like me taking on a new role or a new challenge. If I can visualize myself in it, I can be it. And so healing is no different. If you can visualize yourself, if you can go through the motions of you being healthy in your own mind, it will reverberate into your reality.
Bro, so a couple things here, right? Number one, I love go through the motions, because you got to be about that action, baby. You got to be about that action. And again, there's a big part of faith that's tied to this. Your belief, your faith, like going through the motions and not believing something is tough. Like you just have to... It's just a tough thing to do. And I'm going to go back to my fast, bro. Along the way, when my throat was on fire, bro, like I thought like maybe I got strep throat, right? But I believe that at the end of this fast, whatever is wrong with me is going to be done. Now, we talked about conflict, and I told myself too, again, I cannot ingest anything. But through it, my throat was on fire so much, I kept saying, man, maybe if I can just take like one pill, or like one, like let me drink one cough syrup. Like, I need something to soothe this mug, bro. I need something to make this go away. Not having faith, you know, having those breaks in my faith to know that the end of this is going to go away. And again, it was no pill that was going to make it go away faster than the fast was going to make it go away, because I just know through history of my own life that I've taken medicine and I was still sick over the time period that I was taking medicine, right? Not deciding to be healed. Yeah. But having the faith to go through the motions, regardless of the outcome in the moment, is everything. And using exercise is the ultimate test. I tell my son every single day when I do push-ups. And again, that's also me deciding that the pain is not what I decide that it is. My arms are sore every single day when I get down and decide to do push-ups. And just like you said, when I first get down, I'll be like, man, I'm just going to just at least try to do 10. Just to let you know, I do sets of 30 on my push-ups, right? Yeah. And every time I start going, when I get to 10, I'll be like, okay, well, I can do 10 more. Okay, I can get to my 30. And I'm always amazed as if I lost faith along the way. Like, how could I ever lose faith in doing something that I know that I can do? And it's important to know that once you set a goal, I don't know people that set goals that they can't accomplish. I have never seen somebody, especially when it's a short-term thing, set a goal that they felt like they couldn't do.
Yeah.
Once you set the goal, go through the motions, have the faith that at the end, the outcome is going to be what you said. You have to believe it. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, love that. And even if it's something you can't go through the motions with, try the best of your ability. Like, imagine yourself receiving what it is, like you putting your hands out and it getting placed in your hand. Whatever you got to do to go through those motions, go through those motions. Man, we're getting close, but we got to go through these.
Man, I ain't even looked at the time, man, bro. It's crazy.
It's all good. So next is because, which is you can say because, or you know, because, but because. And what I mean is, so a lot of times with, you know, somebody see you hunched over or something, or just anything, like, man, what's wrong with you? And you will, a lot of people will say the thing that's wrong, but then they would attach a cause to it. They would say this happened because blah, 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 blah. And again, like that cause is in a time that's not right now that you can never get to. So it's like you separated yourself from the cure of it because you're saying this cause is so prevalent that it takes place even now. And so you forget, though, that you get to be the cause of anything. So you can say, instead of figuring out why this happened, why did this heal? Why is this healing right now? And when you kind of switch that cause, you can activate the healing. But go ahead.
I love the defining of everything. I just love it because, again, this goes back to your mental strength and mental capacity to just be able to change the narrative. And, you know, this is something that we do in our group all the time. Why are you sore? Right? And the reality of it is we changed it because now you can take the because out of it. I'm not sore because I've been working out. Now you say, why am I strong?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or when we're in our fast, you know, why are you weak? You know, it's impossible for you to be weak if you haven't eaten in 4 days. That's a strong, that like, it takes a strong person. So why are you strong? And yeah. So when you start to define things as such, now because changes as well. You know, if I'm sore, or if I say I'm strong right now because I've been working out, now you're looking at it from a completely different mindset. I'm strong right now because I've been fasting. Now that cause is not negative. We're talking about changing that negative to a positive. And so to me, I love this with the shift of defining what it is that you're doing. Like you said, if I'm hunched over, why am I healing right now?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Why am I healing right now? Because my body wanted to. Yeah, simple. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, and the quest that you set from your questions allows you to go on that quest for an answer. And like, why am I healing? You find, oh yeah, this is why I'm healing. You heal. And we're going to kind of breeze through these because I know we get a long time. Number 10, the 10th of the 12 ways to easily heal. Have fun. Seems like a no-brainer, but people forget to have fun. And I don't mean have fun where you go somewhere and have fun. Like, no matter the situation you're in, have fun. You can be getting beat up right now. Find a way to have fun while you're getting beat up because it changes everything. And they might not even beat you up anymore because they laughing at you laughing like, man, this dude crazy.
I want to add to that too real quick. And this is something that I've always been big on. Do it with a group. When you have like anything that I do, if I'm doing it with people, it's always fun. The fast, even though we're not together interacting all the time, knowing that I'm doing this with somebody, it becomes more of a game to me. And I would definitely say include people in a positive way whenever you're trying to heal because it can be fun.
Yeah, and as they say, laughter is the best medicine. And you're having fun, you laughing, smiling. You're not even thinking about whatever ailment you have. Like you can't be laughing and feeling pain at the same time. It's impossible. So by tapping into that good, fun feeling, you're healing. Number 11. Do something just for you. That's not the same as having fun. The difference is like it can be anything, just something for you. Because you know, again, sometimes we put undue pressure on ourselves. We say, I'm the source of all these people having happiness. We believe in that ego again. We're practicing the ego, but when you do something just for you, you allow yourself to be free, to be unburdened by anything.
Yeah, no, I co-sign that. I believe that, you know, when you do something for you, that freeness of your mind is everything. You know, we're talking about changing your mind and strengthening it. And when you realize that you are important, you start to tend to care more about these things and what you're looking for in the process. So, yeah, definitely do something just for you.
Yeah, and just to touch on that too, real quick, when, like, because your mind controls your reality in a sense, by you doing something for you, you're out of your own mind. You know, you're out of your way. And when you reinsert into that mind, in a sense, you're at a better point. You're at a more healed point where it's like this unease is unnatural. You're like, what is this? I don't want this anymore. Makes it easier to let it go. And then the final thing, which it doesn't matter, but it matters, is diet. And not necessarily any diet, but the diet that you believe works for you. Like, if you know, like, man, when I eat this, I feel good. When I eat this, I feel bad. Eat what you believe feel good. Like, it's not, nobody else is making this diet for you. This is your diet prescribed to you by you. And if you follow that, you good. Go ahead.
Yeah, definitely. Again, a part of my diet is fasting. That's a part of my diet. And I believe that I can also eat anything that I want to aside from that. And that's just my belief. And the reality of it is, since I've come to that conclusion, I've been feeling the best that I've ever felt in my life. I've been feeling the healthiest I've ever felt in my life. And I've been feeling healed mentally, you know, more than I've ever felt in my life. So I definitely co-sign that. And, you know, just to kind of piggyback on Jay Clay, you have to listen to yourself. You know, I said earlier, you know, you got two eyes to show you that everybody's different. You got two ears to hear from example that everybody is different. And you have a mind that shows you just through memory that you've experienced this life experience different than anybody that you've ever come across. And because you know that, it's important that you tap into yourself and you understand what makes you feel and what makes you go and what makes you see what you see. So that way your diet, which is not just about food, it's about the diet of your life, is everything that you need it to be. Everything you do can bring you a level of peace, joy, happiness, feeling, and you have to recognize what it is. And with all the distractions that we have going on, it's easy to get sidetracked. But remember the truth: you are healed. You just haven't been paying attention to yourself enough to recognize what it is for you to be able to enjoy it the way that you're supposed to be. You're so supposed to enjoy it. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah. And anybody that's watching this, if you have other ways to easily heal, share them in the comments, because people would love to hear. We'll do just like a quick recap while we got time. So number one is water fast. Like, water fast with us. The community is in the link. Just join us. It's easy to do. Accept where you are. Don't be hard on yourself. All of that, you know, just it's cool. It's going to be all right. Three, understand your mind. It is, your mind creates your reality. When you understand how it works, you can focus your thoughts more accordingly. No conflicts. Don't have any conflicts with yourself, with anybody. It's not worth it at all. It's not worth it to you or yourself. You or anybody. Number five, practice the not ego. Just let stuff go. You don't know everything, and it's cool. You don't have to know everything. You don't have to be right about everything. Just take it easy, and you will allow these new ways of healing to come to you, because you're not so fixated in, I have to heal this way. Number six, if you have pain, it doesn't have to mean anything negative. It doesn't have to mean anything bad. Troy, I'll let you go through the last six before we close
out. Number seven, tell no one in a negative way. Just make sure that if you're going to yell it to the mountains, always have the positive mindset and the outlook on it, so that way other people can receive the positive. Number eight, go through the motions. Nothing like taking action. Be about that action, boss. And the reason why I say that is, first of all, you just got to trust that going through the motions, the end of the day, your goal setting is true. Number nine, be cause. And in this, we said, make sure you redefine what it is. If you're in pain, you could say, I'm in healing. If you're tired, you can say, I'm energized because I needed it. Have fun. There's no reason not to be joyous about everything that we're doing. And one of my suggestions was, get a group, do it with some people, you know, and then do something for yourself. Number 11, do something for yourself. Take some time to recognize And then lastly, diet, food, diet, everything, you know, dip in, realize what you need, tap into your soul, and allow your body and your mind to lead the way. And, you know, outside of that, man, I just want to tell y'all, we love y'all. We're grateful for y'all, for everybody that joined us. Without y'all, we wouldn't be here. And, you know, we would be doing something, but we definitely wouldn't be here. I want you to realize that you are perfect. And, Jay, you can take us out of here, baby.
Yeah. Appreciate everybody that rocked with us on this 12 ways of healing, easy ways of healing. And if you found this helpful, hit that share button, like, subscribe, all that. Appreciate you to in the house. Say good chat, laughing, music, stay moving, rest, all of that. Make it through. And, just remember, you're a perfect creation made by a perfect creator. So you might as well accept your perfection and enter perfect mode. Chia.
If I reminded you that you are perfect, would you argue me down or step into your perfection? Welcome to perfect mode, where there are no excuses, no expectations, and we explore the world without limitations. I'm Jay Clay, rapper, the spiritual teacher, with my co-host Troy Washington, your friendly neighborhood realtor. Let's be real. So let's be perfect.
Perfect.